Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning, and we welcome you to worship. A few announcements we'll make as we prepare. First off, we'd like to find out who is in worship. The way we do that, it's very simple. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take this pew pad if you don't mind. Write your name down. Give us contact information. If you choose, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, when you are finished, if you could send it back to where it got started. That first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for your help with that. A few announcements that I'll draw your attention to. Several are listed under upcoming events and opportunities for the week there in your bulletin. First off, we are having children's time today. So invite the kids to come down after the first hymn for just a few minutes to see me. A regular schedule this afternoon, this week. We have upcoming is Ash Wednesday service. Not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. It's hard to believe the season of Lent is upon us, which means Easter is coming as well. Just seemed like it was Christmas yesterday. So I want you to make note of those things. Any other announcements? We're good? I think we're good. I want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. You gave us your information on the pew pad a moment ago. We appreciate that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will recognize you. They're going to come down the aisles now. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship today. Had opportunity to travel home for less than 24 hours Friday, and came home Saturday morning, and I got to drive my dad's old truck. Dad had a pickup truck that he bought long time ago before he passed, and he loved that pickup truck. And I actually got to drive it home. I've got it, and it's amazing how your memory works. Because I got in the truck to drive it home yesterday, and one of the 80s hits came on the radio as soon as I turned on the truck. And I felt like I was back in high school, just like that. And I think it was a special gift from God, just that God was with me during those times, as He is now. He sends us reminders all along the way, even today, about His presence. How has God reminded you today that He is here? Shouldn't we rejoice and be thankful that He has not given up on us? He has not let us go, even on our darkest days. He reminds us through small things, pickup trucks, songs on the radio, good friends. Let us be reminded today that God is here. And He has not given up on us. He sent His Son to die for us, to give us new life. Let us worship Him. Pray with me. Father, we all agree, what a beautiful name is Jesus. Because at his name, all of life makes sense. Because all of our pains will ultimately go away. All of our hurts and our trials. And we give You thanks for what Jesus has provided us. For time and time and time and time and time again, you have shown up. You have forgiven. You have strengthened. You have reminded us of how much you care for us. So we worship you. Come in this place, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody, come on down. Hello, Mommy. Okay. I need some help this morning. Anybody? Thomas Carson, can y'all come help me? Does anybody know what this is? It looks like a backpack, doesn't it? Y'all can sit right there, and I'll call you in just a minute. I need y'all help in just a minute. Now, it's got all kinds of cool things in here, like Band-Aids and Band-Aids and medicine. And I need this morning. You ever needed a Band-Aid? Why do you need a Band-Aid? You get hurt? Well, I have boo-boos. See my boo-boos? Oh, do they look? But the problem is I have two of them, and they're underneath my jacket, and I don't know what to do. What should I do with the boo-boos? What should I do? Band-Aid, but I can't put Band-Aids on both of them. How should I get them on there? I need two Band-Aids, so how can I put... I only got two hands. How can I do that? But it's underneath my jacket. How do I do that? I can't roll my sleeve. You know, I have an idea. What if somebody helped me put Band-Aids on? That'll work? Oh. All right. So, Thomas, Carson, y'all come help me. I have these very, very special Band-Aids. You've had these before? Yes. Anybody can tell me who's on the Band-Aid? Mickey Mouse. That's right. Mickey Mouse makes everybody feel better. So, can y'all help me? All right. You take that. You know how to open those? Can you open them? Yeah. You got a Donald Duck one? That'll work. All right. So, if I do this... Can you put those Band-Aids on me? Okay. They really hurt, so be careful. Don't touch. All right. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Come on. Let's go. People are staring. Oh, oh, much better. Oh, thank you. So good job. Can y'all give them a round of applause? Good job. I see a doctor and a lawyer in the future. I don't know about that. So tell me, what did we learn? Everybody's looking, listening. Everybody's looking and listening. What did we learn right there? Did I have some boo-boos that I just couldn't fix on my own? Was it easier to have somebody help me? But how did you know how to put the Band-Aid on? You've done it before. You've had your own boo-boos. And I bet your mommies or your daddies put on a Band-Aid. That's right. They teach you so that you... Look at my Band-Aid. Do you see those? So that you... I know. And it feels so much better. Pastor Raymond, everybody's listening. Pastor Raymond's going to talk about exactly that this morning. That, you know, we need to look out for other people because we know what it feels like to have a boo-boo and to be hurt. So we need to help others when we see they're hurt, just like you helped me put on this Band-Aid. Okay? So what I want to give you a Band-Aid. Okay? And this is not for you. This is for you to give away. Okay? When somebody's hurt, I want you to hold on to it. All right? It might be a Donald Duck. It might be a Minnie. It might be a Mickey. Well, I can't see what's in here, so there you go. Yep, there you go. Everybody gets one. Good. There you go. So, what are you going to do with your Band-Aid? Okay, after we look at which Band-Aid we have, what are we going to do with our Band-Aids? What are we going to do? Are they for us or for somebody else? Let's pray. Let's pray. God, you have given us the tools to help our friends who are hurt. Help us to use them. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job. You can go back to your seats now. Good job. Let's go out this door.
They taught me how to do it. You could preach a bunch of sermons on that, couldn't you? Parents taught me. Good parents. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Speaking of healing, Krista's not with us this morning. She is sick, and she has found out that age-long truth that when you run, at some point your body says, time to rest. And so she is resting, sick, but resting, right, Ken? Okay, all right. Continue to lift her up in prayer. I know you will. We will read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 16. And the context for this passage of Scripture is Paul, and he is expressing to the church at Corinth the rights of an apostle. And if you go back and you read in first century church life and see kind of the religious cultural environment that was going on there, there were certain rites that were attributed or given to an apostle, and he's explaining those rites and basically explaining how he may or may not choose to exercise those rites. But in verse 15, we'll pick up there. It says, "But I have not used any of these rites. I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. For those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. And I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we learn from the Apostle Paul. We learn part of what our responsibility is, and that is to reach out to people, to meet them where they are. Father, in context of knowing you, Father, we are to seek to get to know other people. So in knowing them, we have built a relationship to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. With the Apostle Paul teaching us this, Father, give us the strength to put it into practice. And this week, this very week, we know people that are hurting. We know people that are going to have surgeries. We know people that are sick. We know people that are recovering from illnesses. So we know all of these things, Father. We pray that you would give us a clear recollection of what it is you would have us to do and what you would have us to be this week to those who need for us to be a blessing to them. Father, our list is long here at the church, as well as in our own personal prayer journals. We have so many people that we're praying for. And Father, were it not for the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we would see that the odds are insurmountable, but we know through you, all things are possible. And Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, you use us in ways that are extraordinary, far beyond anything we could do under our own strength, our own power. Father, we pray this week, we would become more aware of you working in our lives than ever before. And that truly we would be a blessing, that we would preach the gospel in our own way, and if necessary, use words. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you today so full of thanksgiving for all the many things you've done for us and all the many blessings you have given us. We thank you for our health, our families, and for this wonderful church family. We also thank you for our country and for the many freedoms that we enjoy. But today we especially thank you for your grace. You sent your Son to die on the cross so that our sins might be forgiven. We don't deserve it, and we could never earn it. It's only through your grace and love that we receive this gift. We now have an opportunity to give back to you just a small portion of the blessings you have given us. We pray that you will give us the wisdom to use these gifts to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
People believe that the Gospel of Mark, or the Gospel according to Mark, is the oldest of the Gospels. Some people believe that. They believe it was common source material for the other Gospel writers. Whether that's true or not, I can tell you this. Mark hits the ground running. If you look at the Gospel of Mark, it starts with John the Baptist preparing the way, then the temptation and baptism of Jesus, and the calling of the first disciples, and then Jesus starts healing people. I mean, all that happens within the first chapter of Mark. And our passage this morning is the lectionary text. It comes from Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 29. And I'll read that to you, and then we'll read down through verse 39. It says, as soon as they left the synagogue, this was after he had driven out an evil spirit. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed, and the whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Translation of Baptist life, they are looking for you. And Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else." Did you catch the humor in that? They are looking for you. Cool. Let's go the other direction. Let's go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That's why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A text we've probably all heard before. A text that you probably preach 3 or 4 different sermons out of. I'm going to focus a little bit more on the healing side of it. I was reading some readings from Mary Corning Sanders this week, and I gained a new appreciation for part of this passage. And as I reflected on that, I kind of gave it context by looking all the way back. Looking back to this idea of what happens in healing, whether that is healing from sinfulness or whether it's healing from physical things. Because if you look in this passage, there's a lot of stuff going on here. You've got the demons, you've got physical illnesses, you've got a lot of different things. And the awesome thing about Scripture is that when we read the stories in the Old Testament, when we read the stories about our ancestors, I think we can see some of ourselves there as well. I think there is a lesson to be learned by those stories as well for us. Now, hundreds of years before Jesus, God's people, the children of Israel, had forsaken the path that God had placed before them. And as a result of that, God had allowed the leaders of Judah to be conquered and the people of Judah to be conquered by the Babylonians and carried off in exile. Do you remember that story? Okay, so as they were shipped off to Babylon and the Babylonians began to occupy that area, the exile, what that really meant for the people, yes, they were far from their homeland. Yes, many of them had actually been removed from their homeland. So there is that element there. But more importantly for the Israelites, they had been removed far from the temple. Do you get the significance? The temple. the center of their religious life. And when I say the center of their religious life, there was no separating the cultural and the religious, okay? It was not political and this and that. It was all, when I say religious life, it was the center of their life. So when they were torn from the promised land, they felt they had also been torn away from God. You understand really what's going on here? Granted, they brought this on themselves. Granted, they had sinned despite the prophet's warnings over and over and over again. The prophets had warned them. But now they're contrite. Now they have repented. Now they are seeking God. Yet it seemed that no matter how they cried out to God, no matter how long they cried out to God, no matter how loud they cried out to God, it seemed to them as if God wasn't hearing them. They were far away from home, alone, suffering, feeling abandoned by God. We know this because of the writings within the Old Testament. And as I thought about that, I thought, haven't we felt like that at some point? Yeah, haven't we felt like that? At some point in our lives, haven't we felt like that? No matter who we are, there are periods in our life that sometimes we just get through. Whether it's a period of grief or whether a period of fear or just sheer anxiety, there are some times in our life that we just survive. We just get through them. You know, whether it's wrestling with health issues, maybe it's a power struggle within a family situation that's really awkward and painful for you. Maybe it's a power struggle at work that you kind of get caught in the middle of. Maybe it's a power struggle in church. They do exist. I know not here, but in a hypothetical setting, they do exist. Maybe it's an economic pressure where you feel like you can't find your way out of the bottom. Maybe it's shattered relationships. Maybe it's dreams that have been shattered and you just don't see how it's going to work out. We've all experienced disappointments with life, with ourselves, with our best friends, with our circumstances, and yes, perhaps even with God. Maybe we're disappointed that God didn't act in the way that we thought or we think he should have acted. You know, sometimes that's due to our own sin. Sometimes it's due to the sins of others. Sometimes it's simply because we live in a broken and weary world. And if we can pray at all, sometimes our prayers are just out of despair. And at sometimes, on those times, it may be tempting not to believe so strongly in God rather than to believe in a God that would desert us. You understand where I'm going there? Sometimes we just say, well, I'm not sure I even believe in God, rather than believe that God would leave us alone to deal with our circumstances. And in those moments, understand you're not alone. Absolutely, you are not alone. The prophets proclaim we are not alone, even when it seems as such. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed to our ancestors and to us that in this darkness comes a light, and the light is the word from the Lord. Not just any word, but a promise. Isaiah 40, wait. Wait upon the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and he will do what? Lift you up. He'll lift you up. He's there. He is there with you. He will not abandon you. He will lift you up with wings like what? Have you ever watched an eagle fly? Oh, man. Effortless soaring. They don't beat their wings. They find that stream. He'll lift us up with wings like eagles. There's a reason they chose that metaphor. Effortless power, effortless soaring. He will lift us up. And if you've ever been stuck in the down position and needed a helping hand, you know what it's like to have no hope except in the promise that when we can't even crawl, God will lift us up. Just as the prophets proclaimed, he will lift us up. And I wonder, as I read this story, I wonder if Peter's mother-in-law had come to that point of just resigned waiting? Had she given up on the possibility of ever being well again? What was the fever about? What was the exact nature of her disease? Did she feel God had given up on her and maybe did not hear her prayers? Or had she given up on God? Very frustrating, but Mark doesn't fill in all those details for us. Why is that? Well, it's not important. What's important, he records for us, and that is the fact that Jesus came in, he took her by the hand, he lifted her up, and the fever left her. She was healed. Notice what comes next, though. Look what comes next. It says, and she began to serve them. And some may say, are you kidding me? Really? Is there no rest for the weary? I mean, this lady's been laying there for who knows how long with this fever. She's sick, and she's healed, and then they expect her to wait on them. Well, if you go down that road, you know, and start going with all the archaic type gender roles, that type of knee-jerk reaction is really going to cause you to miss the point here. Because what we're seeing is a healing and then an act that followed, which reflects the gratitude for the healing. Let me explain. The promise that I believe is expressed here can be illustrated by numerous stories of people we know who have battled a disease that threatened to take their life, and how they persevered in the face of seemingly impossible odds and in spite of the treatments that could have killed them before the disease did. You all know somebody like this. All of us do. We have several within our midst, one of them who has a birthday today. Whole chunks of these people's lives become like a fog that they don't remember anything except maybe a few scattered memories. But what they all seem to remember is how they were lifted up by the prayers that were offered for them and their families. And from some of these people, I've heard comments like, I was so out of it, I couldn't even pray with any clarity, but I knew that you and our church were praying for me. Do you know somebody like that? Sure we do. And for some who get through the ordeal and remain here on earth for a yet-to-be-determined number of months or years, they discover that God has brought them through more than just a physical healing, but that God has given them as well a spiritual healing. They received restoration of purpose as well as a return to participation in family and church life. This is because the healing of an individual is not an isolated event. We each play a role in the fabric of life, in the body of Christ, wherein if any one part of that is torn, the whole suffers. Do you understand that? When any one of us suffers within the body, the whole body suffers. When one part of the body fails, the whole must feel sense of responsibility and seek restoration for the one who has experienced failure. And in that way, when Jesus lifts one up, everybody, the whole, experiences restoration. So when we're healed, as Peter's mother-in-law was, when we are healed, we are blessed to be a blessing. That sink in? We are blessed to be a blessing. The same God who raised Jesus from the grave, turning death itself into new life, uses our healed wounds as a means to help others be healed. Priest, professor, and author Henri Nouwen called those who have been restored and serve others wounded healers. Thus the title of the sermon today. Wounded healers. Restored, we try to encourage others in their struggles so that they may come to the point where they recognize that God has not abandoned them. God has not abandoned. Because of God's work within our lives, God has not abandoned them. Then as other people also experience healing, we make room for them to work alongside of us in blessing others. In a nutshell, that's one of the most important things we seek to do as church, and that is to lift others up in our times of weakness, all the while recognizing and admitting our own wounds and our own frailties. Do you get that picture in your mind? Wounded healers, those who are helping heal others, even as they themselves perhaps are even still wounded. We're all journeying to a path of complete restoration when we gather around the throne. But until that time, we're here for each other. In varying stages of woundedness, we are helping each other along the journey. We absolutely cannot go the course of shooting our own wounded. You've heard that expression, right? They shoot their own wounded. We cannot go. There's a practical reason for that, because we may be the wounded at some point. Okay, you don't want to go there. But the more important thing is, because shooting your wounded goes counter to the teachings of our Lord, and it betrays one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. We must be wounded healers. And even as we lift each other up, even as we encourage one another, even as we journey together, we experience that sweet paradox. Here's what I'm talking about. That in attempting to pass on Jesus' blessing, what happens? We get blessed. That's not our goal. That's a byproduct. Have you ever experienced that? I have. You know, every year, Roger, I remember when we come back from Mountain Outreach, one of the things that was said is, we went there to be a blessing, and we were blessed far beyond whatever blessing we may have passed on. I don't know how God does that. I don't know how the Holy Spirit works that out. I just know it happens. Not just in mission projects, but in daily life. As we seek to bless others, we in turn are blessed. I've experienced it. You've experienced it. I bet Peter's mother-in-law even experienced it. I know she did. Why? She was blessed, and she got up immediately and started blessing. So remember these things. First, if you are so far down that low seems up, God's promise is for you. God's promise is still for you. God has not abandoned you. The God who turned death into life wants only wholeness and healing for you, and is going to be your strength. And we, through his power, are going to be your strength as well. The privilege, the responsibility come hand in hand. Next, if you've experienced God's healing in any way, you are healed with a purpose. And that purpose is to reflect the light of Christ in such a way that others can trust God's promise is also for them. Saved to serve, blessed to blessed, whatever phrase you want to use, that's what's going on. May we ever grow in trust of the one who loves us and longs to lift us up. Why? To serve with joy. To serve with joy. Let others see it on your face. Give thanks in all things, even when perhaps you can't give thanks for all things. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, forgive us when we walk around with long faces and present a picture of a God who is not able to help us, or a community of faith that has failed us. Father, allow us to know you more real in our life every day. Allow us to know your Holy Spirit more intimately every day. And allow us to share that Spirit with others who need our help. And in those moments when we're feeling sorry for ourselves, Father, allow us the grace to look around and see others who are hurting much worse, and walk alongside them, helping them, and in seeking to be a blessing, receive the blessing that you sent our way as well. Father, we've already admitted we don't know how that works. We just know that that's part of your plan, and we give you thanks, and we give you praise. Father, go with us during the course of this week and allow us to be a blessing. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If what I've been talking about in relationship with Jesus is something that's somewhat a foreign concept to you, perhaps you don't have a personal relationship with Christ yet. And if that's the case, we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. I certainly would love to do that here, or call me this week. Glad to meet with you during the week. If you're here and you are a believer, but maybe you've kind of lost a little perspective on this whole idea of being part of a community that encourages one another and walks with one another, certainly talk with God right where you are. Set the priorities back in line. If you'd like to talk with me, I'd be glad to talk with you and pray with you about it. If you're here and you say, well, I'd like to be a part of that kind of congregation, the congregation that encourages one another and journeys together along this path, I can assure you this is that kind of congregation. And there's a number of ways we receive members, and I'll be glad to talk with you about that if that's your desire. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Following the benediction, the response, I invite you to do what we've been talking about this morning, and that is speak with the people beside you, speak with those that you may not know as well, offer a word of encouragement and blessing to others as we go from this place to serve. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, all to you we surrender. We sing it. Father, help us to mean it. Help us to surrender all that we have, all that we are, to be used by you for your purposes so that we can be a blessing to others. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray.